It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz at Chickie's in South Philly, where we are every Friday until football season starts. Remember, you can book your next big party at Chickie's and Pete's, the official sports bar of your Philadelphia Eagles. Elliot Shore Park's with us as a bonus for the entire hour, which everyone is super happy about.
Yes.
The Tornado Shapiro weekend forecast in a couple of minutes. Elliot, do you want to ask the question you just asked again?
Yeah, so if you were the Eagles and you could acquire Terry McLaurin for a second-round pick plus the contract you pay him, would you do it?
Do you have him playing edge or
he would be wide receiver three.
So last year, I did think they went in light on the third wide receiver, especially AJ misses games, Devontae misses games. That said, you cannot trade for a guy who wants to get paid and then not pay him.
No, you would pay him. That's what
are you on drugs? You can't pay him.
Well, let me present my argument.
Okay.
Present it.
I will. So I think, obviously, Terry McLaurin for a second-round pick, just talent-wise, is a steal. Right?
Sure.
Like, he is an unbelievable. Yes. All right. And then I think it's a rare instance where your number one competition in the NFC and in your division, if you were to acquire Terry McLaurin, let's say it came out that Washington was trading Terry McLaurin to the Eagles, it would end Washington's season and be such a devastating blow to that franchise and fan base.
Oh, my God.
That I think it is worth the cost of paying him.
Are we talking about Jerry Rice here or Terry McLaurin?
Dude, I think you are underestimating what Terry McLaurin means to that team. He has been the only...
You're underestimating what a quarterback can do.
Jaden Daniels is awesome, but we've seen it with all quarterbacks, and this was something Ike was right about back when Carson played. You can be the best quarterback in the world. If you don't have receivers, your team's not doing anything special, and they don't have anybody besides McLaurin. So if they lose McLaurin, the blow on the field and off the field, again, I get what you're saying. You pay or receive another big contract. I get all that.
Well, you,
but
you
it's
can't
a rare
three,
instance.
You can't pay three wide receivers that and then do everything else that you are saying that they should do in the future.
Right.
Like, where's the money going
to
go?
Well, obviously, they'd have to figure that out. I agree the money's the hard part. The only point I'm making is the blow that it would take to Washington to have McLaurin in an Eagles uniform would be massive.
Yeah, we don't need to worry about that. We beat them with Terry McLaurin. No, I just simply wouldn't do it because I don't think it's a good fit. Terry McLaurin is a number one receiver.
Yeah.
He would come here and have to be a two or three.
Oh, he'll be thrilled.
Yeah, and exactly.
Now, if you pay him, he will be thrilled.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, AJ got paid, and AJ
still want the ball.
And he was the number one wide receiver.
Right. Now,
and by the way, he had the 40th most targets in the NFL last year. Yeah. Your number one wide receiver, AJ Brown, got the 40th most targets. How many targets do you think Terry McLaurin's going to get?
Well, I think they will throw a little more. But also, AJ and Devontae, they want the ball. They should want the ball. There's not been any real issues with that being the case. Like, besides AJ once.
Sure. What are you talking about?
The passing thing. Could I finish? The passing thing last year where he said the passing game. That's been the only issue that has been public where it's come to one of them is unhappy with the targets. That's a fact. You can say that behind
That's
the scenes.
Too long.
But, like, publicly, there have not been week after week or off-season source stories being like, AJ and Devontae want the ball more. They're unhappy. I mean,
They want the ball more, Elliot.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. But every player on the team wants the ball more. Every player is not always happy with their role. What really matters is what comes out publicly.
Right.
And the point I'm making is
No, that's not true.
I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Yep. Okay.
We
got to go to Tornado.
Okay.
We will finish it. A little happiness, and then I can't believe he does it every time.
Yep.
Well, you're wrong. I don't know.
No, you're wrong.
I'm not.
Tornado Shapiro. Hi.
You're both wrong.
You can go.
Angus, come on, you gotta stop whining about those Phillies. Dombrowski got his closer, Joan Duran. You know, back in the 80s, they called me Duran Duran because I was hungry like the wolf. How about a little respect for the most prolific, the most accurate forecaster in the country? Music, please!
It's the game day forecast from the world's most accurate and famous meteorologist, Tornado Shapiro.
Now, Tornado, before you get to your forecast, did you steal a little grease man there with a waddle doodle?
Well, it's always kind of like an amalgam.
Okay, all right.
It's a little bit of Angus, Mr. Little Angus.
There it is. Okay.
Quite a shift in the weather. After all the excitement for the trade deadline,
I'll tell you, one time out in San Diego, me and my wingman, Brian Fontana, we traded weather gals. I traded Amanda Liquor for Fondo McKeister and a case of Martini and Rossi Asti Spumanti. You remember that. And then there was the summer of 2010, I picked up Panhandle Patty on a short rental.
A short rental?
She was only 4'10". Come on!
Okay.
Tonight, cool, normal air, low down at 64 degrees. Made some great deals at the deadline. One night at 1:45 a.m., I thought I acquired the beautiful Lake Effect Lydia. Instead, I walked away with chlamydia. Hello.
Oh,
chlamydia burns. Chlamydia burns, and I can vouch for it. Come
okay,
on.
All right. No more. Next thing.
Did I tell you I had a great uncle who hit it big in the fur trade back in the 1890s?
Nope, we're not doing that either.
Back then, the Europeans paid big money for beaver pelts. You can look it
nope.
up.
Nope. No.
Saturday, gorgeous sunshine. Saturday, high of at least 80 degrees. We know Dombrowski got his closer, but I'll tell you, he paid a heavy price. Gave up a huge catching prospect in Eduardo Taint.
It is Thais.
Thais.
Well, let's just say their depth at catcher taint what it used to be.
All right.
Nailed it. There's a cheap one.
Tonight, Detroit comes to town. You know, we don't get to see the Tigers much. Back in 2006, I worked in the Motor City WBLG The Bulge with a girl by the name of Greasy Pam. She'll get your motor running. Last game I saw in Detroit, it was actually a Piston game on giveaway night. They were giving away Piston pants and Piston socks. And of course, I was wearing my Phillies cap, so I already had my little P on it. Hello!
Oh, no. I saw what you did there.
Cute.
You're not doing that again.
Cute.
Big night at the bank tonight. The Phillies Wall of Fame. Let's get her going. I was there in 2019 for Bobby Abreu's induction. Don't you know he refused to go to the ceremony because he was afraid of the wall?
Oh, that can't be true. That's a cheap shot.
He finally agreed to show up, but Abreu stopped 5 feet short of the wall and let Doug Glanville run up and accept the award for him. Tell you, the guy did have a gun in right field. He actually won the Golden Glove 1 year. Sometimes late in games, they would just put the gold glove statue out there in the wall because Bobby didn't want to go near it. It's true. You can look that up. You're not getting this anywhere else. But I'm excited.
No, only from you.
I'm excited for Jimmy Rollins and Ed Wade. I was out with Eddie Wade one night at Pinups in Northeast Philadelphia. It was me, Ike, Ed Wade, Travis Lee, Omar Dow, Vicente Padilla, and Nelson Figueroa. Eddie Wade was going nuts, chugging milkshakes. Then he reached over and grabbed one of the dancers and offered to balance her checkbook. Hello! I was with Jimmy one night. We were honored. We were both honored at the Rotary Club. It was myself, Ike, J-Lo, J-Roll, Jay Leno, and Chief Jay Strongbow. By the way, you know, the chief was not a Native American. He didn't even have two nickels to rub together. Come on.
Oh, man. You are the depths of it today.
Wall of Fame night is always fun. I was there 2 years ago for Scott Rowland's induction. What an after party that was. Girls everywhere. Everybody got lucky except Rowland. Sorry about your luck, Scott. I deserve it. It's also football. We got Eagle great Eric Allen going into the Hall of Fame. Every football player dreams of getting into Canton. I tried to get into Canton for years. She kept saying no, so I settled for her sister. It was still an honor. He had the gold jacket.
I once brought
my weather gal friend to mine a gold jacket, then I gave her a pearl necklace.
No, Buzz.
No, dude.
Sunday, all right, finish it up.
Beauty. Sunday yep. again, high of 82 degrees. Congratulations on surviving the heat. Buy yourself a milkshake. Outro music, please. You heard it here from Tornado Shapiro.
Oh, my God. took some liberties. He took some liberties there. Elliot.
Oh,
Spike,
man.
You saying that yes. Wide receiver.
Right back into it. Well, not even. Like, just back into McLaurin.
Yeah, that was a lot.
I agree.
I think you're missing my point.
No, I understand your point. But your point means you want to weaken the Commanders. I get
yes,
it.
Yes.
I understand that point. But the point also comes with a wide receiver who is a number one wide receiver playing, either the number three role
right.
or the number two role.
Correct.
If he plays the number two role here, then that puts Devontae Smith to number three. And you saying that there is no discontent among wide receivers.
I didn't say that.
Well, but you did.
No, I said publicly. It does matter because, all right, so first of all, you're saying, receivers wanted the ball last year. And I'm not saying things were perfect behind the scenes with them wanting the ball. I agree with all that. Brandon Graham obviously said what he said about Jalen and AJ, right? But they won the Super Bowl. So the point I'm making is, while, yes, there are always things behind the scenes, it matters more what comes out into the public because that becomes a massive distraction. And so far, there have not been, other than the one AJ passing comment, there's not been tons of stories over 3 or 4 years with Jalen at quarterback. Like, oh, the AJ doesn't feel getting the ball.
But Elliot,
is true.
But Elliot, yes, but also the passing has also gone down than it was 2 or 3 years ago. Which you say last year, like it was an offhand comment. AJ Brown made that comment, and the lead veteran on the Eagles went on the radio and publicly said, basically, that the two guys don't even talk to each other.
I agree with this.
Like,
I'm saying that was public.
Massive.
It was.
Issue.
I agree with you. But the point I'm making is, now we're discussing private versus public. Like, I think what happens behind the scenes matters, but it matters way less than what comes out into the public.
There is no realistic way you could have three receivers like that on a team that barely throws the football in the first place.
You would have to throw it more. I agree with you.
Not just more. You would have to throw it more than any team in the NFL.
But I also think you're underestimating.
AJ Brown was 40th in targets last
year.
Right.
You're underestimating what paying Terry McLaurin would do if you gave him the contract.
But what are we so worried about the Commanders for? Like, we're so worried about dismantling the Commanders?
Well, they are the team that the Eagles played in the title game last year.
Sure, but...
yeah.
But
and
we went belt to ass.
Yeah, you remember what happened,
yeah,
Elliot?
Do you remember what happened? That's the real question.
Yeah, the defense was great, and Saquon started the game off with a 60-yard touchdown.
Yeah. Speaking of Saquon, by the way, there is one more thing I want to say about training camp today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, please leave this McLaurin thing alone.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. This is just an offhanded question.
It's
all right.
Dumb comment.
I don't think it was.
It was so dumb.
Well, you keep doing the whole, like, I don't think you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We understand what
I don't
saying.
Think you totally. Do understand what I'm saying.
Well, why don't you get a hitman to kill all their good players? That would help too, right?
Then you would really need Terry.
Yeah. Reported by Spike.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Saquon Barkley today had maybe the best practice I've ever seen from a running back in training camp.
I did notice this.
He was unbelievable. First of all, he touched the ball 14 times today, which is a ton for a running back in practice. He had a sequence in an 11-on-11 drill where he almost like single-handedly changed the tone of the practice for the offense. So he catches the ball on fourth down. It's a first down. He's slow to get up. Like, I was standing next to the reporter. We were both thinking, uh-oh, like, he might be hurt. He gets up. The offense at first looks like they're trying to get him off the field. He waves him off, goes back in the huddle. Next play, runs it in from probably about 3 or 4 yards out. Jalen Hurts runs over to Saquon, jumps up on him. They're going crazy. The next play, they do a two-point conversion. He runs it in again. He's talking trash to the defense. I just thought it got the whole offense going, and he was like that throughout practice. He got into it with Reed Blankenship at one point. He had one run that was probably 30-plus yards, which is relatively hard to do in practice because they're not tackling. So if you're in the vicinity, they generally call you down. He was unbelievable, and through 7 practices, I don't think, not to get back into the passing game thing, but in all seriousness, I don't think we should expect Saquon to take a back seat this year. Like, they'll throw it more, but through 7 practices, Saquon looks better than he did at this time last year.
Real quick, we will get to more of that. Also, Elliot, we get Elliot's take on the trade deadline.
Yeah, we should be happy.
But before that, I have to tell you, speaking of trades, you go to Colonial Hyundai, you're getting more for your trade than anywhere else. That is guaranteed. John Ashdell, the Cars Are, insists on it. He's going to make it happen here in the dog days of summer where your AC is not working like it used to, and they can get you into a brand new Hyundai with several things that is going to make it easier for you, like 20% off any new Hyundai in stock. Like having over 300 brand new Hyundais on the lot, so anything that you want is there. The Santa Fe, the Palisade, whatever. Like as low as 0% financing on any new Hyundai in stock for a limited time only. And as I told you, that $6,500 for your trade, guaranteed no matter what condition it's in. Every brand new Hyundai that is bought this month at Colonial Hyundai, Colonial will donate $100 to the Brandywine Valley SPCA, help them save some dogs and cats. That's a good thing as well. A great thing, you're going to get Hyundai Assurance and America's best warranty with your new Hyundai, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain with Hyundai Assurance. Do not wait. Go over to Colonial Hyundai, Route 30 in Downingtown, or go to ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easy, better way to buy a Hyundai. See the website for details. It is good that Saquon looks good. I mean, I hope him not taking a backseat is like, I think all the stuff about giving him lower workload, even the beginning of the season, I would like it. I thought it was a dream. I think they're going to end up doing the same thing.
Like, I'm not sure I would like it, though.
I think it's still going to happen.
Yeah, I think it'll still
happen. But it
could, you think a lower workload? Or they'll at least try.
Yes.
Well, but do you think that's because of the way the defense will play them, or do you think that's what they will want to do?
I don't know. It could be a combination of both. I think he's getting his work in right now because he's not going to do anything in any preseason games. So they're giving him a little. He's trying to get his legs ready for the season right now to do his thing. I just don't know if it's very smart. Now, they may be – listen, you got a Ferrari that looks like that in the garage. You're going to be tempted to drive it. You're not going to let it sit in the garage. I'm just saying – you know the first thing that's going to be said if something happens with him physically is you guys should have known coming off a year where he had almost 500 touches, running backs in the next year after those many touches, what it's like for them that year. So to me it would be a sad state of affairs if they have to lean on him as much. I don't think when you got two $20, $30 million wide receivers, a $50 million quarterback, a $10 million tight end, and the best offensive line in football, and a running back coming off a year where he touched the ball the most ever in his career, that you come back the next year and say, let's do it again.
Right. I think it would be crazy.
You're begging for something to happen to him.
So
you're begging for it.
I agree with that. I think there's a couple different ways to look at it. There is giving the ball to Saquon because he's just operating at a high level and you're just going to go do it because it works amazingly. Then there is you have to give it to Saquon because the passing game is not working. If the passing game is not holding up its end of the bargain through 5 weeks, that would be very disappointing, right? Now, if the
after 5 weeks, that's when they went to Saquon.
Right.
That's when
if the passing game is doing well and they're still giving it to Saquon, then I think that's where you could make the argument of you guys have a passing game that's playing well. Right. Why are you putting Saquon in risk?
And you got A.J. Dillon and Shipley.
Right. I just know from watching this guy today, I mean,
he looks great.
He's unbelievable.
He does. And I would want to give it to him. I mean,
yeah. And like he's carrying the ball more in practice than he did last year. Last year in practice, he averaged around 3.5 touches per practice. After today, he's probably up close to 8 touches per practice. So they're not backing off in training camp. Now, there's a long way to go. They'll probably back off as it goes
on.
At
some point, yeah.
But they are – he's touching it way more than I expected and getting hit way more than I expected.
So, Elliot, trade deadline yesterday.
Yes.
Phil's make a trade for a closer. And I know we're never going to say it right, but I continue to watch Duran say his name. It's Joan Duran. Is the way he says it.
There's
no
A.
No, and it's not a yo, and there's no H in there. So he goes Joan Duran.
So Joan?
Joan
Duran. J-O-A-H-N.
So Duran.
Joan.
It's Duran.
Well, he says it a little different than he says Joan. So he says Joan Duran, like that. I'm just saying.
Well, let's just call him by his last name like we do every other athlete.
I would say Duran.
Duran.
Duran, yes.
Not Duran?
No, I don't think
it's
so.
Not Duran.
It's not Duran.
Right, it's
Duran.
Duran. I'm waiting on T-Mac to say it tonight.
That'll be the official.
Yeah.
Well, but again, even in that booth, we had the Galvis.
Oh, the Galvis-Galvis controversy.
Galvis conundrum.
Yep. You know? We did have that. We did have the Freddie Galvis. Elliot, your thoughts on the Phillies trade deadline?
So I understand the frustration. I think the frustration is misguided. I'm not frustrated with Middleton or Dombrowski. I'm frustrated with the players. Like, the Phillies have the fourth highest payroll in baseball. They failed in two straight postseasons. I completely understand why they don't want to trade Painter. And it was clearly going to take Painter to get a bat that would have made people excited yesterday.
No, so, not true.
Okay,
they could have gotten Suarez and not traded Painter. But they to get Kwan,
the guy everybody wanted, yeah. To get a bat that would have everybody super excited, I guess. My ultimate point is I think the front office has done enough to make this team. They've put enough resources into it. So now the players have to perform, and they have spent enough money. They have a rotation that if guys pitch to their level, they should have a great rotation in the playoffs. They have people in the lineup that are great, and if they play to the, what they're being paid, they should have a good enough lineup. The issue with this team has been that in the playoffs, those guys have not come up big. So but I understand the frustration, but I think my frustration is with the players, not the management.
See, here is my – I hear what you're saying, but it is the management who invested in the players who's not producing. So you can – any management that spends a lot of money on a team and the team doesn't perform, they can just go, oh, just year after year they don't perform. But year after year, when they are – when they are searching for offense, when they need to, and you keep doing it with the same players, then to me, it is on the management and the ownership to come to Jesus on the fact of who the players are. I could say, now Bryce, I'm putting him to the side. He performs every, yes, he's had a game or two and a bat or two overall.
He struck out in game three of the Mets series. Yes. Thank you for bringing that
Schwarber,
up.
Schwarber also has been really arguably just as good as Bryce.
No, that's not true at all.
I mean,
he was terrible against the Mets.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I guess my point is, at a certain point, if you are the ownership and you are the management, you have to be realistic on what you have spent your money on. You were the ones that gave Nick Castellanos $25 million a year. You were the ones that gave Taiwan Walker $20 million a year. You were the ones that gave Max Kepler $10 million a year. You were the one who said that your big addition in the outfield was going to be Brandon Marsh or Austin Hayes or whoever it's been. You. So, like, I hear you, but the players are who they are. And like, this is, I think this is different than saying you are right to say that about Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid is one of the five best players in basketball. If he doesn't come through in the playoffs, it's on Joel Embiid, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. This roster, this especially from a hitting standpoint, is obviously deficient, and they know it's deficient, and that's why they tried to go get a bat. So, like, I hear what you're saying, but I don't think this is a one of the things where you can just go, well, the players didn't perform. So, they got the players.
So I agree with a lot of what you're saying. The only counter I would make is that we're not talking about money. If it was they could have paid $10 million cash and gotten Stephen Kwan yesterday, then I would agree. Like, yes, go pay the money. I know you've already invested money, but the money's not working out completely. This is the last chance. Go pay the $10 million. I would agree with you there. But what we're talking about is trading away young players that could be the next window of this team. And the window with this current group, like that's going to play tonight, we can argue how much close to it is to being closed, but it certainly isn't opening. It is closing. And so I don't blame them for not trading away guys that we all think can be key pieces of the next window.
You just don't want them to win the World Series because it turns into the Eagles. That's what no one wants. Yep, that's what no one wants.
Don't look at me.
Well, no, I'm just turning what Ike did to me earlier everyone else.
Okay, all right.
Exactly. But do you see what I'm saying about the difference?
But the money is connected.
No, because, it is, but there's a difference between money and prospects is the only point I'm making.
There isn't really.
Well,
there is.
Prospects
are prospects. Money is just cash.
Right. But if you don't have $50 million invested in nothing, then it widens the ability to do other things. But you would not be in a position to have to trade prospects.
I agree with you on that, but what I'm saying is I don't blame them for not giving up their top prospects is where I land on it.
Okay.
I don't blame them for that.
Okay.
Because if it was money, then yes, I would be right here with you saying go out, spend the money to get whoever, you know, the chosen Kwan or whatever people wanted, right? But when it comes down to mortgaging the future and taking away from the future of the team, I think this current group has had enough chances where I don't think I'm robbing them of anything. Right? Like, I need to think
but
about...
But you're essentially pulling the plug on a team that has the third best World Series odds.
Yeah, but again, pulling the plug, they have the third best World Series odds.
They could be...
You could make them better, but I'm not doing that where if it doesn't work out and then Schwarber leaves, like, then you have another window of a future with this team. I'm not taking from that to reinvest in this team when I've already invested so much?
I hear you.
Yeah.
I don't agree, but I hear you.
All right.
Elliot, would you do us the service? Now, we have the High Hope Shacky Baseball Report coming up. We did not talk about Mount Rushmore Week, which is next week.
Yes.
Do you have 15 more minutes so you could?
I always have 15 minutes.
Okay. I just, the beginning of the segment.
Damn, I was hoping he was out of here.
I have three big questions about Mount Rushmore Week for everyone that I would like to do, and I like having Elliot here for it.
Right.
So, by the way, you can submit your Mount Rushmore.
And you're going to be honest about your Mount Rushmore?
Unlike, I already have my Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, but your last list you did when we were off conveniently was your most honest list we've seen.
Can we do this next?
Yeah. Every list I do is honest.
Spike, get a hold of this damn show.
I'm trying, but when there's three of you... It's harder angle.
Yep, big ego.
Like herding cats. Is that what it is?
Yeah. You hurt cats?
Herd.
Oh, herding. Herding.
You could submit your Mount Rushmores at 94WIP.com/Rushmore. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.